To those who search and never find, to those that turn away the so-called non-accepted, to those that bring us together, and to those living outside, keeping touch, the voice for many. To those that make it back to live and fight the struggles of their people, to those that give up and those who do not care, to those who abuse themselves and others, and those who revive again, to those who are physically, mentally, or spiritually incapable by accident or by birth, to those who seek strength in our spirituality and ways of life, and those who exploit it, even our own. To those who fall for the lies and join the dividing lines that keep us fighting amongst each other. To the outsiders who step in, good or bad, and those of us who don't know better. To the leaders and prisoners of war, politics, crime, race, and religion, innocent or guilty. To the young, the old, the living, and the dead. To our brothers and sisters and all living things across Mother Earth, and her beauty we've destroyed and denied the honor that the Creator has given each individual. The truth that lies in our hearts, all my relations.
You're listening to KBOO Portland. Up next is Health Watch, and at 11:30 it's Radio Zine. You're listening to KBOO Portland. The time is 11 o'clock.
This KBOO program is made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Wilkin & Company, PC, Certified Public Accountants, helping businesses, individuals, and nonprofit organizations make financial decisions based on their personal values since 1987. Wilkin & Company is located at 2435 Southwest 5th Avenue in Portland. Information at 503-225-1359 or wilkincpas.com.
You know you love KBOO's programming, but did you know you can help inform decisions about new programs on KBOO, support evaluating shows to ensure programming excellence, as well as help process feedback about shows from our listeners? Well, you can when you join the KBOO Programming Advisory Committee. All you need to be is a KBOO member. Attend monthly meetings on the second Tuesday of each month at 6 p.m. at KBOO and commit 5 hours a month to work on committee-related tasks. The Programming Advisory Committee works alongside KBOO programming staff to live out our programming charter. You can find out more at kboo.fm/committees. See you the second Tuesday of each month at 6 p.m. KBOO needs you.
And up next, Health Watch with host Eileen Goldsmith.
The purpose of this program is not to prescribe a treatment to individuals. Listeners should consult their healthcare practitioner before attempting any treatment.
Good morning and welcome to Health Watch. I am Ellen Goldsmith, licensed acupuncturist and your host every second Monday of the month. According to the National Institute of Mental Health, anxiety disorders affects over 40 million adult Americans, and it is not uncommon for those people to also suffer from depression. Whereas occasional anxiety is completely normal, enduring anxiety is a disorder which develops from a wide range and complex set of risk factors, including trauma, genetics, brain chemistry, and life events. The good news is anxiety is treatable, and treatments go beyond medication or talk therapy. Today, I'm speaking with an expert in this field, Dr. Peter Bongiorno, naturopathic physician and licensed acupuncturist, about his newest book, Put Anxiety Behind You, the complete drug-free program. Dr. Buongiorno is a co-medical director of InnerSource Health with offices in Long Island, New York, and New York City. He's president of the New York Association of Naturopathic Physicians, and before medical school, he was a researcher at the National Institutes of Health in the field of neuroendocrinology. He teaches at local medical schools in New York about integrative medicine and writes for psychologytoday.com, share.com, and also has written for the Dr. Oz website. Dr. Peter Buongiorno, welcome to Health Watch.
Thank you, Ellen. It's so nice to be here.
Well, I'd like to start by having you talk about what people might be experiencing when they suffer from long-term anxiety, because that is a very hard thing to live with.
Yeah. Well, when people suffer from long-term, like you said in the intro, you know, everyone gets some anxiety. Anxiety is an absolutely normal, healthy response sometimes to daily life. You know, if a bear is coming at you, your body creates this response to run away or to fight, so this way you can survive. And that's totally normal. Unfortunately, though, a lot of us, probably close to 25% of us, have more chronic anxiety. And that kind of anxiety is the kind of anxiety that happens where you feel like you need to run from a bear, but there's actually no bear coming at you. We just have those feelings. And those feelings could be many different things for many people. They could be tingling in their feet, they could be excess sweating, they could be their heart feeling like it's racing or just thumping really hard in their chest. It could be a lot of muscle tightness and neck pain. It could be headaches. It could be like this very surreal feeling where you feel like you're floating almost, or you don't really know exactly where you are, and memory goes down, or you lose your energy. So it could be very different things for different people.
And people, you know, when people are experiencing anxiety long term, it's scary for them. A lot of people end up going to the ER or really kind of at their wit's end for help.
Yeah, I mean, well, actually, when people first get anxiety, a lot of times they don't realize that's what it is. So they end up at the ER because they think there's something physically wrong with them. And usually, the doctors, do all the right things, make sure they check the heart, make sure they check the blood pressure, all those things that should be checked. And then they realize they don't find anything organically wrong, and they listen to the story, and then they start to think, well, you know, this might not be a physical issue. It might be more of an anxiety issue.
Right, but there's that very kind of slippery line where it's all in your head, you know, if they find nothing wrong with you. But as a naturopathic physician, you're always looking for the underlying cause, something that might be generating a physiological response. So I wonder if you could share with our listeners what some of the causes of anxiety might be, besides what I talked about earlier, trauma, genetics, et cetera.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm happy to do that. You know, I'm 47 now. When I was in my 20s, I had pretty terrific anxiety myself, so I know what it feels like, and I know what the process for me was learning about all the things that contribute to anxiety. And what I talk about in my book, if you look at the introductory chapter, there's a little picture I have there of a stool, you know, and the stool, the top of the stool has the word thoughts written on it. And then all the legs and supports of the stool represent all the other things that can support our thoughts, things like good sleep, things like exercise, proper digestion, eating the right foods, balancing blood sugar, you know, working with relaxation techniques. There's all these different things. Because what I've learned in my 12 years of practice and what I learned for myself is that our thoughts and anxiety is really just the tip of the iceberg. You know, it doesn't really tell us why we're feeling that way. And for everybody, it's different. And you know, in conventional medications, they can stop anxiety. They work actually fairly well. You know, they definitely, you take it and the anxiety goes down. The problem is, it's just covering symptoms. It's not fixing anything. And arguably, you know, those drugs have a toxicity profile of their own. So unless you're really using them for an urgent care situation where there might be some danger involved, in my opinion, it's really a better idea to really look at the underlying causes and work on those. So this way, the body can fix the anxiety and really heal and balance it. So this way, it doesn't have to be a long-term chronic issue.
Right. So you talk about in your book, I love that image of the stool, by the way. I thought that was a great way to communicate it to people. But you talk about a number of things, sleep, movement, balancing blood sugar, the importance of eating regularly. These are things that can really shift anxiety in a very significant way. Can you just talk about why those simple things make such a big difference?
Sure. Well, sleep, for example, is just so critical. And I think everyone listening probably knows that. When they get good sleep, they just feel better. So if you're not sleeping well, as an example, whatever the issue you have is, whether it's an inflammatory issue or a mood issue or a musculoskeletal issue, all those things are just going to get worse. And you're going to feel more of it when you're not sleeping enough. So when we exercise, that's an important way to burn our stress hormones, right, as well as keep our bodies healthy. Like I said, and the anxiety response is that running from a bear response. And many times when we're caught up in our day and running around and stressed out and worried about things, our primitive brain doesn't know the difference between, you know, having to rush to pick up our kids and a bear coming at us. You know, especially when there's multiple things. You know, we're running to pick up our kids, and we have to go get this, and we're worried about our parents who's sick, and something, you know, argument going on with this family member, and all of the, you know, maybe there's money issues, and all of those things together become kind of overwhelming to the point where our system, our primitive system, just creates this anxiety response, you know. And then when we don't exercise, we don't burn those stress hormones because, of course, when the bear's coming at you, you run. But we're in that moment, we don't realize we need to run. So we don't run, and the stress hormones just run around. So that's why I think exercise can be a really valuable tool as far as lowering anxiety. And you mentioned blood sugar. I find blood sugar such a key for anxiety response. And many of my patients will come in with anxiety. The first thing they'll tell me is, well, I don't eat breakfast. I don't have time. I have to run out of the house. And, you know, breakfast is such an important moment because when you eat first thing in the morning, especially when you get good quality protein, some fat, some healthy carb, it really establishes to the body that there's food available, you know, that we don't have to run and look for food, and it helps our brain stay more vital and keeps our mood balanced. When we don't eat in the morning, it sets up this kind of anxiety response, which some people is low grade, but what ends up happening is as the day goes on, it becomes more of an issue. And so by the midday, you know, they need to eat ravenously, or if they don't eat enough then when they come home at night, you know, so many of us will do that. We come home at night and then we just eat and eat and eat. And unfortunately, that shoots our blood sugar up, probably creates a poor sleep, and then sets up for the next day, you know, so we have these cycles that go on. So it's important to break that cycle and eat small, frequent meals throughout the day, especially starting with a good breakfast.
Right, because it keeps that blood sugar steady, which keeps that that stress hormone down. So could you explain to our listeners, what exactly are those stress hormones? We know that it's adrenaline, sure. Right? And what is that? And how that acts on the body.
Well, what happens is we have these stress thoughts, you know, which come, there's the outside part of our brain called the cortex, and that sends a signal to the fear centers in our brain and also to the middle of our brain, an area called the hypothalamus. And that's where the nervous system, the immune system, and the hormonal system kind of all talk to each other. When we're stressed out, that part of the brain sends a signal to our adrenal glands, which are these little glands on the top of the kidneys, and their job is to put out the stress hormones, like you mentioned, adrenaline, which is epinephrine, and cortisol. And when those hormones get sent out from the adrenal glands, that's what creates that response. You know, so anyone who's gotten a fright and knows what that feels like, that's the adrenal response. That's the adrenaline, that's the cortisol response. That's preparing your body, you know, for something stressful that's going to happen. So either you need to fight or you need to run. So it prepares your body to do something. In that process, one of the things it does is it shuts the circulation to our digestive tract. Because really, if you're running from a bear, right, you're not going to sit down to eat a meal. You're busy running from a bear. It also shuts down our reproductive system. So many women I work with, you know, who come in for fertility concerns, They'll come in and all their blood work is perfect, and yet they're not getting pregnant. And usually it's an anxiety response that's just shutting their ability to create good, healthy fertility. So it's really important to understand that process, because when we understand the process, then we could start working in different ways to minimize the effect of the stress hormones on our body, and even more to help us so that we don't recreate that response.
It's ironic, isn't it? Because in a way, those stress hormones are our body's way of protecting us and helping us
Absolutely.
To survive. And even by, like, if we don't eat or we don't sleep, the body's like saying, I got to sleep, I got to eat, right? And then you're saying, well, I'm sorry, I don't have time, I'm not going to do it now. Your adrenals go, okay, well, I'll give you some cortisol or some adrenaline, right? And so it's a protective mechanism, but then it kind of, you know, it's got a double edge.
A named Bruce McEwen, and he coined the term allostatic load, which is just a fancy way of saying when all of those hormones are up for too long, they start beating our body up in the process. They start beating our brain up. They start beating our heart and our blood vessels up. They increase inflammation in our body. And then we actually become susceptible not just to anxiety feelings, but in the long term to actually different diseases, a number of diseases, high blood pressure as an example. So this fellow, Bruce McEwen from McGill University, clearly showed how when this goes on for too long, it becomes a problem in our body because we're not made for that. You know, we're made for a short-term response. You get out of danger, and then that should go away. But us humans, we can keep it going. You know?
Yeah, we can, can't we? And then people kind of get addicted to their own adrenaline, right? Because that's how they're working.
Yeah, you know, it's so funny you say that. And I'm sure you know, as an acupuncturist, you know, I'll give somebody an acupuncture treatment when they come in. And, you know, a very anxious person, maybe a little anxious about the needles too. And then after the treatment, they'll get up and they'll feel like there's something wrong. But as I'm talking to them, what I'm learning is that they're feeling relaxed and they're honestly just not used to it. So it feels weird. Mm. And they're a little scared of that.
Right.
So
right.
You kind of almost have to reteach people, like, this is relaxed and it's okay.
Right. So, you know, I want to go back to the beginning, which is it's treatable. So even when we're stuck in this cycle, there is a way out and through it. Could you just talk about your approach? I mean, we talked about those three basic things, sleep, movement, and regular eating, but your approach to kind of unwinding this taut wire and helping the nervous system and a person really get back to some more resilient balance, so to speak.
Sure. Yeah, and that is part of the approach that you just mentioned, those steps. I mean, what my book outlines is that, you know, there's a number of steps. We have to work on better sleep and getting enough of it, work on exercise, work on the foods we're eating, creating healthy digestion and good bowel movements if we're not having them. You know, the neurotransmitters in the brain are actually made in the digestive tract, so digestion and the right foods is critically important. And then, you know, using the proper mind-body therapies that work for a person. Acupuncture is phenomenal. Yoga is fantastic. Getting massages regularly. Cranial sacral therapy. Of course, looking into psychotherapy to start working on those thoughts that are driving a lot of that can be really helpful. I think cognitive behavioral therapy is very, very effective. And then there's other techniques if that doesn't particularly work for an individual. And then getting the right supplementation and the right herbals in. Before doing supplementation, though, I like to run some blood work on people. I like to see different blood tests to see if things like blood sugar are way out of line or if there are certain hormones, like let's say thyroid hormone, which may be very out of balance. Looking at the stress hormones, there's the saliva test, and I talk about this in the book too. I like to run a saliva test that looks at the stress hormones throughout the day. To see if either they're too low or too high, because sometimes when people haven't been stressed out for too long, their stress hormones are very high or they get dysregulated, they're up and down during the day. Some people who have been running this way for a decade or two, their hormones tend to drop and they're actually less than normal. They actually come under what the normal would be. So for those people, they really need a lot of nourishment. You know, in Chinese medicine, I think the adrenals and the kidneys are kind of the same organ. So they need a lot more of what, you know, the Chinese medicine would call kidney nourishment, you know, to really kind of bring back that energy to their body so that they feel more centered. So then once I look at the lab work, then I might recommend certain supplements. I really do think in general people do well with a basic multiple, a good quality fish oil, and a good probiotic. The flora in your digestive tract, there's some French studies, clinical studies, which show that when you have good flora in your digestive tract and you take the right probiotics, you can really help your brain make a calming neurotransmitter called GABA. And that when the flora is not balanced, then the GABA is generally low in the brain. So, for example, that can be helpful. And then depending on people's particular symptoms, then there are some herbal supplements that can be really helpful and some amino acids that can be helpful to both calm the stress system and calm the brain directly.
And some of those herbs are very simple, and you can get those in a grocery store, or health food store, an herb shop or something. What would some of those herbs be that are simple?
I love passion flower. Mm-hmm. It's called Passiflora incarnata. It's really nice, especially when people have that kind of that mind that just won't stop and is constantly cycling, especially at night when they can't go to sleep. I think passion flower can be very, very helpful. And passion flower has been very, very well studied. Even more well studied than passion flower is valerian root, which is an excellent way to help people calm during the day and sleep at night. In fact, it doesn't really act as a very strong sedative. And by the way, there's no relationship from valerian to valium, even though they kind of sound the same. But valerian is quite safe, and you know, some studies show that people take a little bit one part of the day earlier in the day, and then they take some of it before bed. And if you take it consistently, it does help people sleep, and I've seen people do really, really well with that. And of course, when I'm working with herbs and things, what I try to focus on is all those basics that we talked about. Because sometimes the herbs will help people feel better, just like drugs can. But if we don't work on the underlying sleep and exercise and thoughts and mind-body work and food and things, what I'll find is after a while, you know, people will go back to where they were. So it's really important to always work on all the basics while taking the vitamins and the herbs too.
Right. If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Health Watch on KBOO, and we're speaking with Dr. Peter Bongiorno, naturopathic physician and licensed acupuncturist, on his new book, Put Anxiety Behind You, The Complete Drug-Free Program. So you talked a lot. I loved how you talked about anxiety becoming your greatest ally. And I think this might be a really new concept for some people out there listening, you know, to take something that really plagues you or that you're kind of afraid of almost, or that you want it to just go away, to embrace it, to become your biggest ally. Could you talk about that concept a little bit for our listeners?
Yes, absolutely. You know, I think the first time I ever heard of that concept, I was reading or maybe watching a video of Carolyn Miss. Do you know her?
Yes.
M-Y-S-S.
Yes.
And I remember her talking about these archetypes and how people who maybe you really dislike, people who are really tough or mean to you or something, how they can actually be at one level a guide, you know? And maybe you don't have to like them as a human, but sometimes they're there to teach us something we need to learn at the same time. And anxiety is exactly that. You know, anxiety is something in your body is trying to teach us something we need to learn. And I know when you have anxiety, I know firsthand it just feels awful and horrible, and it doesn't seem that there's anything good about it. You know, it's just bad and you want it to go away, or you just wish it could go away, and it's just a nightmare that it doesn't. And I totally understand that. But what I do when I work with patients is I try to reframe that and try to help them see anxiety as something that we can use to challenge us to move through to the next phase in our lives. And I know for me, it's definitely done that. And when I work with patients, I try to remind them that as you work through it, you're going to feel so much better about yourself, and you will be able to look back at that moment. It's almost like sometimes, you know, when you're in a bad relationship, you know, you're young, you're in a bad relationship, and maybe you don't like that person. But then 10, 20 years later, you can look back and say, you know, I really learned something from them that I needed to learn, you know.
Right.
And this is the same. It really can be that. In the moment, it's difficult. But when you look back and in the long term, it really can help us.
Absolutely. And, you know, it does take, it takes courage and it takes support to face something that's difficult, whether it be a situation or even a feeling in the body can be very difficult because those, that physiology can really take us over. And it's hard to kind of break that cycle. So to have some guidance in it, seems to be able to, you're talking, sounds like you're really saying it really helps you to develop capacity to be with difficulty.
Exactly. And that's my concern about the drugs, you know. The drugs don't allow you to do that. And I think they lower your capacity because they tell you that every time something difficult comes on, you know, you have to take that thing. Otherwise, you're not going to make it. And it kind of sends us the wrong message. And I know it does. It takes a lot of courage, and it's not at all easy. And I know I'm making it sound easy. It's not easy. It's the hardest thing. But when done properly and in the right step, and I talk about this in Chapter 2 mm-hmm. and then in Chapter 8 of the book, that there are ways to start organizing your anxiety so that you can start taking it on as you work on getting your body physically healthier. And that's really the key, to kind of do both at the same time. So, you know, work on the physiology so that the anxiety gets better, and then work on the thoughts and the anxiety so that it's, you're not as reactive to it. And there is a process, and for everybody it's a little bit different, and it's important to go slow, you know, and work with somebody. And by the way, if anyone's on medications, I'm not suggesting that they should just stop taking their medication. Sometimes when you're on medications, you have to, you know, work with a prescribing doctor and go nice and slow to make sure you do it safely when the time is appropriate. So that's something, you know, that not to jump on and off medications. I never recommend that. But to maybe use the medication if it's helping, you kind of, you know, think a little clearer so that you can work on this process I'm talking about so that eventually, hopefully, you don't need them anymore.
Right. Yeah, you talked about 9 steps to that your listener, you know, that your patients or people can go through, which is talk to a doctor, taking the anti-anxiety drugs, finding someone to talk to, sleep, movement, food, body-mind modality, supplements, and anti-anxiety supplements. So that's a pretty kind of, that's a nice checklist for people to look through, it sounds like.
Yeah, I mean, I notice when patients come in either with anxiety or depression, you know, they're feeling really overwhelmed.
Right.
And I think it's important to keep it simple. You know, and I know we just talked about a whole lot of things and a whole lot of steps, but what I try to do in the book and when I work with patients in person is really just starting where they can start. You know, because you can't do it all at one time. You have to do one thing at a time. But what's important to me is that it's organized so that eventually people can hit all of those different aspects because, you know, anxiety is just the tip of the iceberg. It's a symptom that's suggesting things are out of balance. And it's usually not just one or two things. It's usually numerous things that have kind of coalesced into this issue we now know as anxiety. So it's important to break it down into steps and go nice and slow and get it done. Because the body, I know one thing, the body knows how to heal. Mm-hmm. It definitely can heal. And for all the listeners listening, you know, I just want to tell them that your body does know how to fix things. It just needs the right encouragement, and it just needs to be done, you know, in a reasonable order in a way that's handleable.
That's very doable, the way you're talking about it now. I think that's really helpful for our listeners. You know, in the book, it's a plethora of information. You know, it's wonderful how you break it down, and then you go into all the supplements and the herbs and such. And I just wondered how you might guide people in reading your book, how to look at those, because, you know, the American mind will go, oh, great, I'm going to take this, and I'm going to take that, and I'm going to take this, and I'm going to take that, because they're all good for me. But we know as naturopathic physicians, you know, treatment is not general. It's specific to a person.
Right.
So if you could just give some guidance for people who will read your book.
Yeah, that's a great point. Well, as far as the supplements, There are so many in there, you can't take them all. In fact, towards the back of the book, what I do is I break them all down into these fairly simple charts, and I try to list the most pertinent symptoms that people have. So, for example, if people definitely notice they have blood sugar dysregulation, so chromium has been shown to be helpful for people with anxiety, and chromium is also very useful for people who have blood sugar dysregulation. So that might be a perfect one to start with for somebody who's looking for something kind of anti-anxiety, and they know that when they don't eat, they just, you know, they get hangry, they get angry, they get irritable, they get anxious. So that might be a good place to start. So I think what's important is when a person reads through the book is that they really look for symptoms that speak to them about what they're going through, because they're not all going to match. And there's going to be one or two that are especially, you know, calling to them.
That's great advice. Well, Dr. Peter Bongiorno, I want to thank you for being with us on Health Watch today. And I'd love for you to let our listeners know how they could either get in touch with you or purchase your book.
Oh, thank you so much. Well, the book is called Put Anxiety Behind You, and it is on Amazon. So it's available there. My website is www.innersourcehealth.com. That's I-N-N-E-R-S-O-U-R-C-E. Or if you search my name, drpeterbongiorno.com, that's my personal website. And my phone number is 631-421-1848. And I also have a Twitter account, at Dr. Bongiorno. Feel free to join me there as well. And, yeah, I'd be happy to assist anyone. And, yeah, please, I would love to hear comments about the book as well. See what, you know, I feel like, you know, it's nice now. I have patients coming in now. They find the book in Barnes & Noble as an example, and they'll come in to see me for those in the New York area. And I'm really honored because they read the book, and I feel like I see the changes. You know, they come in, they already kind of have a sense about what we're going to work on together, and I find it's nice because now, you know, people already have that background of looking into these different factors, whereas doctors have never told them this before. So right. It's really exciting to me to see that people are getting this. They're getting what the underlying issues really are, and that they do have control over them. So I hope it's...